to the death and the passing of Billy Barry. Now, Billy Barry Kids, a familiar expression for those of you down through the years, would have featured on the toy show when I was growing up. They didn't feature when I was there. And I don't know how much, if how many years they would have worked with Pat when he was doing the toy show, Pat Kenny. But certainly Billy Barry Kids have been part and parcel of the Irish showbiz landscape for many, many years. And sadly, Billy Barry passed away yesterday morning. And a lot of the students who passed through her hands down through the years have been talking with great fondness of the late Billy Barry. One of them is Brian McFadden. And Brian joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Yeah, very good to talk to you. I mean, when you heard that Billy Barry passed away, how did you feel? What went through your mind?
Oh, it was just really sad, you know. Now, like, obviously, she was an old lady and she's had an amazing life and an amazing career. But, you know, I don't think it was much of a shock that she was going to pass. But just, you know, the moment she did, it was just that, you know, your whole childhood, all those memories just kind of flooded back in. And, you know, how dear she was to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and she paved the career for so many people. And probably even more important, that she's kept so many kids off the street.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what I always remember. You know, I wasn't hanging around the street because I was in Billy Barry's, you know, twice a week and kind of living for that rather than, you know, other ways I could have went. So she was an incredible woman. Incredible woman.
The sort of thing she did, I mean, let's, rather than the school itself, let's talk about the woman, Billy Barry, and maybe explain to us what she was like as a teacher and as a person in the school.
Well, you know, I think my first memories was I was probably maybe 4 or 5 years old when I first went there. And, you know, she just had this incredible aura. She always wore gold. She always had gold shoes, gold belt, and she just looked golden. There was something about her. She shone like a Hollywood kind of a star, you know. And I don't know what it is, but it was just something about her that when you were around her, you were taught manners because she taught you to kind of be respectful. It's just something incredible about the woman. And, you know, she shone for all of us, to be honest with you. Along with her daughter, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Without her, we wouldn't be where we are today. Taught us how to sing, she taught us how to dance, but more, she kind of taught us, you know, how to get through life, how to have.
It's what they would call now a holistic approach: the singing, dancing, and then the ritual of whatever it's good manners and just time management and being a good person.
Absolutely, the only way I've spoken to the success on it. Well, you know, we look back at like all the years I've had in this industry, and you know, I always think of things I was taught by her, you know, but just how to treat people with respect, no matter how successful you get. It's, you know, always treat people that, you know, respect and be humble and be thankful for everything that you get and you achieve. And I think that's kind of stood to a lot of us over our careers.
What sort of things did she make you do, Brian, down through the years? I mean, did you have some price moments in the school?
Well, I was always a heavy kid, so she had a singing competition every Easter and the prize was chocolate. So that was a good one for me. That definitely got me wanting to sing better.
So you had certain roles, any memorable roles down through the years?
Yeah, well, the first of all, obviously, the big goal being at the very key, because there was so many of them, don't forget. And, you know, there was always a competition between us all to get the big Billy Barry slot, like getting the toy show.
Yeah.
I remember from, you know, for years and years, I was never even close to getting into it. And then the first year I did get it, I remember we did, there was like 20 boys and we all performed Grease on the Late Late Toy Show. And that, you know, that was the biggest highlight in my career, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
The most exciting thing I've ever done in my life. I remember, you know, Billy and her daughter taking us all out on the bus out to RTE. And going to RTE, this is the most incredible thing ever, you know. Mm. For these young kids, this is where all the magic happens.
Mm.
You know, even sitting in the canteen and seeing the great Derek Davis, you know, walking over to get his lunch was one of the most incredible moments ever. So, you know, they're the things I remember. And just, you know, getting things like shows. I was in the Wizard of Oz playing a munchkin in the Olympia Theatre.
Yeah.
All those incredible things we got to do from it.
I noticed,
to be honest with you, when I started in Westlife, a lot of those things that we learned from her stayed with me. And as I said, it's not just the singing and the dancing part and the performing. It was more of the kind of appreciating and being mannered. You know, the one thing people always said about Billy Barry King is he was well-trained and very respectful people.
Yeah.
Then we grow up, of course.
And then we grow up and realise that we become hardened, hardened and jaded, as you well, you know. You were in the troupe for Grease on the toy show, and of course the toy show would have been very closely associated with Billy Barry Kids, as I say, down through the years. So was it Pat or Gay was your...
Pat,
who presented?
We actually did. I done it on both. Yeah.
Well, oh, did you?
I didn't do Pat. I was gone by Pat. But obviously, Billy Barry had their own slot, kind of allotted every year in the Late Late Show. You know, every year Billy Barry's would have some kind of performance, and it was normally the best kids that would be kind of prepped leading up to the toy show and get that part.
Right.
And yeah, as I said, you know, for years and years I'd watched the other Billy Barry kids, and the school favourite, the big stars in Billy Barry, and it was only a dream to get it. So right. I do remember that first time that Billy Barry and the daughter came into the class, let us know that these 20 books and that we were going to be there. The keyboards on Grease from the Late Late Show.
You got the golden ticket. Angeline Ball, Susan, your sister was there. Mikey Graham, Samantha Mumba, of course, she was on the Toy Show too. Hilda Fay, Ruthanne Cunningham, and Devon Murray of Harry Potter fame. A lot of big names down through the years have passed.
You go to the best ends. You can't swing a cat without hitting someone that was in Billy Barry. You know, there's some of the best dancers in the world that are touring with some of the best acts. You know, people like Tommy Spark, Carl McGuire, these guys are, you know, performing all over the world, and they're really by issue to say, yeah, they've really turned out some great talent.
Yeah, good. Well, look, it's good of you to remember.
She'll be sadly missed, though, and she'll be sadly missed. You know, she's obviously everything to all of us, so, you know, let's hope we can all remember her very fondly.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and thanks for taking the time. Were you at the Ryder Cup last week, by the way?
I was indeed, yeah.
What a great win.
It was an incredible win. We had an amazing time going around the whole weekend, and then we dragged ourselves in behind the ropes to follow Sergio Garcia on the last day, which was pretty much just walking around pinching myself for 18 holes.
And what was your highlight of the weekend?
Do you know what? Funnily enough, probably the first morning, I got up at 4:45 in the morning on the Friday, and I queued for an hour and a half outside the gates. Like I was going to a One Direction concert with a little girl.
Yeah.
And then when the gates opened, I ran to the grandstand and I got six rows from the front in the middle at the front grandstand. And we sat there for 4 hours basically watching them all have their first tee off and singing. And it was incredible. It kind of reminded me back of the days when Ireland used to be in Italian 90 or USA 94, you know, where you'd be in the pub and everyone's singing a song. They had that kind of atmosphere. It was just incredible.
Yeah, my younger brother was there. He said it wasn't very boozy. He said it was a real sort of golfing fans, real people who were just into it and, you know, really loving the atmosphere, soaking it up. And I remember talking to Paul McGinley before he went out, and he said, I want the people to be cheering and singing. And sure enough, I believe that there was a lot of ole oleing, like you were saying, the old Italian 90 vibe revisited.
Yeah. God, it was absolutely. That's exactly what it reminded me of. As soon as I was sitting in that first tee box and they started singing Ole Ole, doing the Mexican wave, it just had that flashback from, you know, the penalties against Romania, you know, that kind of feeling, that feeling of pride. But, you know, I have to say, the crowds were just incredible, because I don't think people realise, you look at it on the TV and you see, you know, whatever, 50 or 60,000 people watching golf, but, like, the effort that people made to get there as well, like, you couldn't even get a taxi near, like, you know, within 20 miles of them. People had to basically shuttle bus to, you know, a town 30 miles away and then get another shuttle bus. It was a real mission for all these people to get there. And they were there in strength every day, screaming at every player and cheering every thought. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's good old work. I've been seeing ads for your programme, Who's Doing the Dishes. How's that going for you? Enjoying it?
It's been brilliant, yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. This is our second last the run, so we did a 6-week run. It's been incredible. I shot it all over the summer and that.
Good.
Just had so much fun, you know. It's amazing for me to actually get paid just to talk to people. You know what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a little bit.
We love to talk and then we get paid for it. It's incredible, you know.
Well, can you believe it? But don't tell anyone. That's the secret. It's a showbiz secret. Hey, listen, pass on our best Vogue, please.
Absolutely. She's standing beside me doing her hair. We're in Paris for her birthday, so.
When is her birthday?
Her birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, pass on our happy birthday greetings. And are you treating her to Paris, or are you going Dutch?
We're going Dutch. She doesn't let me treat her for anything.
Oh, of course, she doesn't let you.
She's a modern woman. She's a modern Dublin woman. There's no such thing as I try, but everything has to be Dutch for her.
Even for her birthday, you're gonna split the bill.
No, her birthday on her birthday, my love, but everything else.
Everything else.
Have you seen the size of her? She's batting me. Never told.
She'll batter you now with that hairdryer and brush if you're not careful.
That's it, yeah. Hey, listen, tongs in the head.
Yeah. Hey, listen, look after yourself. Enjoy Paris, won't you? And thanks for taking the time out, given that where you are. I didn't realize you were there, so given that you're doing that, I appreciate you taking the time. Nice to talk to you, Brian. Best of luck.
Thanks, All right, man.
Thanks a million. Take it easy. That's Brian McFadden, live from Paris, as it happens, with Vogue brushing her hair beside as they celebrate a little getaway in Paris for Vogue's birthday. But really, we were talking to Brian about the passing of Billy Barry. No doubt, many Billy Barry veterans, I suppose you could say, alumni listening in this morning, 51552. If you want to say, give us your memories, you can. The other word.